Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, and this is chapter 30. And there are 20 verses in this chapter. And we're going to, let's ask the Lord to anoint this chapter. This is actually Moses telling the people to what? Get back to the...
To return to the Lord,
which means some people don't know what it means to return to the Lord. They don't know what it means because some people have never been to the Lord before, so they don't know. Say, what do you mean return to the Lord? I've never been to the Lord before. And so those of you that have never been to the Lord before, it's because you really haven't been told how to get to the Lord. And so in this chapter where Moses is telling everyone to return to the Lord, I pray that God will anoint me to explain to you, to the hearer of this tape, how it is to get to the Lord. Now, to know the Lord, to have immortality, eternal life, you must know the Lord. This is, here's how to have eternal life, the Bible says. To have eternal life, you must know the Lord and know whom the Lord God has sent, his Son, Christ Jesus. So the reason Jesus called himself the Son of Man was because he was born, he was begotten by the Holy Spirit. And so he was born again at the time of his birth. It was a human being that was born again of the Spirit at the time of his birth. So he wasn't born again, but he was born of the Spirit, which is the same as our becoming born again of the Spirit. Because we were conceived by man, by a female, man and woman, but it's not, but the Lord was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so he didn't have to be born again because he was already born of the Spirit when he was born. But he said that in my Father's house are many rooms. In other words, the Lord, he was saying God rooms, the Father rooms in me. And when he means the Father rooms in me, that isn't a light statement. He said the Father really is inside of me. And that's why I'm the Son of God. And the Bible clearly states that when we accept the Lord God, which is the fullness of the Godhead, which is Christ, God, are one and the same. When we accept God into us, then God is living in us. And we have become born again of the Spirit. We're like all the things that we did in the flesh, the evil, the sinful things, and even the Adamic sin comes off of our soul. And we are now saved. And so, to get back to the Lord, well, to get to the Lord, you just have to ask him to save your soul and make a covenant with him that you're going to keep his commandments. Because he says, if you do, here's all the blessings that will come to you and you'll have eternal life. Blessings in this world, life in this world, and life more abundantly. Because if you do everything that he says, then he'll do what you ask. He said, if my words abide in you, and you abide in me, then whatsoever you ask, I'll do it. Now, it's just like Buster's son, brother-in-law. Tonight, I got a call from Buster, and he stated that he'd like me to pray for his brother-in-law, who's dying of cancer. And he's in excruciating pain. And is it all right if he came over to the house to get prayed for him? And I told him, sure, but Kenny and also Ronald Jones is over at putting in the new television and recording equipment. And they wanted me to come over. They wanted somebody to look to see how to run that board over there. And so I had four people that I wanted to, and five, including my boy, how to run that recording equipment and the television equipment. So I said, well, I'll tell you what, I'll just go over there and pray for him there. And so before I pray for somebody, I always ask the Lord, are you going to heal him? Are you going to heal Buster's brother-in-law? And the Lord said, no. And I said, well, he's got this excruciating pain. Will you take that away? And the Lord said, yes. I said, but Lord, your promises are that if a person is serving you, if they're filled with your spirit and serving you, you said all the curses come off of them. That's why it's so important to for everyone to do everything the Lord says, because everybody is cursed without the Lord. And I said, if he will get saved, and if he will devote his whole life to serving you with all of his heart, all of his soul, all of his mind, and all of his strength, will you heal him then? And the Lord said, yes. And then the Lord reminded me of Susie, who was serving the Lord with all of her heart, soul, mind, and strength. And when she decided, there was a lot of people in the church that discouraged her after all these years. She'd been in the ministry for 40, 50 years. And she just said, I'm tired, I can't. These people, a lot of them are phonies. And she says, Tony, I just want to put out more literature, because what's going to happen is they're going to come in here by the thousands, and they're users. You know, they like to use us. And I'm tired, and I'm sick, and I just can't do it anymore. And I said, Sue, what difference does it make what people do? I mean, it's what we do is going to cause us to go to heaven. If you don't serve the Lord, if we don't keep distributing literature, you're going to die. This David Rolnick came over to our place, and he tried to kill his wife, and I told him to come over because he was in a lot of trouble. And so I prayed to the Lord, Lord, if you want Sue and I to continue distributing literature, because Sue doesn't want to, show David Rolnick, this Jew who hates you, show him a vision of you. And the second I stopped that prayer, the Lord, David Rolnick cried out, I saw him. And Susie yelled out, and I knew exactly what he saw. Susie said, who did you see? What did you see, David? She says, I saw him. And she said, who did you see? And he says, Jesus. And here's the guy that really hated Jesus. And he's a Jew. He studied to be a rabbi. And I said, Susie, I put out a fleece that if you wanted to, after he left and everything, he wouldn't get saved. And so we were walking down the street, and I said, Sue, you know, that vision that Rolnick saw, that didn't come just because of Rolnick. That came because I prayed to him, and it was for you. I asked him, Lord, if you want us to continue distributing literature and witnessing and testifying to people, then give David Rolnick a vision of you, Lord, and make him tell it. And he even said that the Lord told him, come unto me in Hebrew. He spoke to him in Hebrew. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, I saw him walking on a wall coming towards me. And so she said, I don't care, Tony. I says, you don't care? I said, you're going to die. So I told Buster's brother-in-law what happened with Sue and myself, and he said, I said, now the Lord told me he's going to take all the pain away from you right now. But he said he's not going to heal you right now because he wants to see you dedicate your life to keep all the commandments of the Lord. And if you'll do that, I mean all of them, not for you to go one jot to the left or to the right, he will heal you totally. That cancer is nothing for the Lord to lift off of you. I mean, it's nothing for him to do that. But you have to make a covenant with the Lord. You've got to promise. In other words, a covenant is a promise. God makes a covenant with us, and we have to make a covenant with him to keep his commandments. And I brought this in chapter 29 last night. I think I talked about this somewhat, and possibly on chapter 28 as well. And that's just the preachers in the world just don't preach it. They say, oh, Christ did all the work, and you don't have to do anything. That is the most satanic thing to tell people, because it isn't true, and it'll send your soul to hell, and you'll die young. And so I said, to prove to you that what God told me about you having to serve him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, God is going to take all that excruciating pain away from you right now, because he told me that he was going to do that before I left the house tonight. I said, so, he said, I can already feel it going away. He said, it's still there, but I can feel it going away already. I said, well, it's going to be gone. And Buster just called a few minutes ago and said, that pain is still gone from him. It's still gone. And so I said, let's get on our knees. And we prayed. And I asked the Lord, you to show him that what I'm telling him is the truth, that he must surrender his entire life to you and give you all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and not to sin once again, and to keep his mind and heart and soul and spirit on you and all his strength, and that if you do that, that you'll heal him. Lord, I ask you to show as a sign to him, take all of his pain away now in Jesus' name. And I said, and I felt the Lord sweep down, and there's people in there. You were in there?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, you too?
I was there.
You were there? Okay, you saw that.
Yes.
And I said, your pain is gone now, isn't it? And I could tell because the Lord anointed me too. And he said, yeah, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
It's all gone. He said it was like somebody grinding a lit cigarette right into my neck. That's what he told everybody.
Yes.
Okay. And I said, okay, so that shows, you know, if you'll do that. I said, now you're too young to die, man. And I says, you know, just do what the Lord says. Just do what he says. It's just that simple. You know, there isn't anything mystical. You're not going to hear me going, oh, God said, and then he's going to, and you said, I don't do stuff like that. I just teach the Bible the way it really is, pal. Okay, this is the way it is, friend. Amen?
Amen.
And if you just do that, you'll be fine. Just as sure as he just took the pain away from you. All right? And then another person was there tonight, and they, I went there. It was Buster's relatives. And I shook hands with all of them. And this one girl I shook hands with, she said she felt fear of the Lord, but it was a good fear come down upon her. And she said it really convicted her because she'd never felt that before, you know, the Spirit of the Lord. And so they got halfway down the highway, and she says, I want to go back. I get prayed for. She was saying, I want to get saved. So she came in, and they told me that story, and we went into the prayer area, and she got saved. So that was the first person saved in that particular gathering place of the Lord, and that was the first person that got healed from their pain in that place. Now, God will definitely heal him, but he wants something from you too. Amen?
Amen.
I don't care if you are the greatest person, soul winner in the world before, but if you decide, the book of Ezekiel says, but after you've done all these good things and you decide to stop, every good thing that you ever did in your life will be erased from you, and you'll be the same thing as a sinner or even worse because you have stopped serving the Lord. Okay, now this chapter here again is what? The title, the header I have there?
The call for the people of Israel to return to the Lord.
Why return to the Lord? You think that's going to help God something? He wants you to return to the Lord because he wants you to be saved. It's to benefit you. Okay? Idiots. Why do you think that God wants you to be a slave? He wants you to do it because there's no sin that can enter the kingdom of heaven. Obedience. The only thing that's going to get people into the kingdom of heaven is obedience in every way. Don't be usurping authority. Don't be telling people that you're going to do this or you're going to do that. I told you in tapes before to call the pastor and let the pastor do that because the pastor is the one that has got the head for it. Okay? God gave pastors special heads, not you. All right? If you're not a pastor, then lay off. If you report things. Don't try to take matters into your own hands and saying, well, you know, you have to do this and you have to do that. You are not in any position to be telling people you have to do this or you have to do that. If you do that, you're going to be cursed. Do you understand? I hope so. Praise the Lord. All right, so, Father, we know we have to serve you if we're going to be able to have ask for what we want and then get it. If I live in you, which is the word, and you live in me, then whatsoever you ask, it shall be done unto you. It's going to be done. It's a positive thing. It's a positive. And God will prove it to you. If you've got pain right now, all of you that are listening, so God will prove it to you, then Father, prove it to them by that I'm telling the truth by touching them and taking the pain away now in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. And Lord, anoint this message in the name of Jesus, and we'll all, and every one of us says, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Okay, now let's go.
Deuteronomy chapter 30, the call for the people of Israel to return to the Lord. King James Version, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee.
And when you, you know, remember that I told you to get rid of all these people, to kill them, to drive them out of the land. If you remember that to do the things that I told you to do when you get into the promised land, then what?
And shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice, according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Verse 3, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity, and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee.
So if you have a little boy or a little girl or a little daughter that just does everything that you tell them to do, would you inflict them with cancer or allow them to be, if you had the power to heal them? God won't either. He's better than you are. Amen? He will not. So if you just be like obedient little children, we have to become like little children in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
We got to be childlike in order to enter the kingdom of God. Just be a childlike, obedient person of the Lord. He's going to look down on you and have compassion on you, and he's not going to let any curse be on you whatsoever. Trust the Lord. Amen. He promises. All right, then what?
Verse 4. If any of thine be driven out unto the utmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee.
Yeah, he'll bring you into a real place where you can rest, a place of rest. He'll take you in peace. No enemy will be able to get you or to destroy you. That's a promise. Why don't you want to have this promise? Why do you want to be a big shot or, you know, try to think that you can do something on your own when you know that you haven't been able to do that before, and no one else can do it, and somebody as great in the Lord as Susie was, she couldn't get by with anything. There's no favorite person of the Lord that he'll let you get by with sin, that he'll allow you to be disobedient. Who do you think you are? You're like God is some kind of a chump or something? He's not. Or he's your sucker? God is nobody's sucker, okay? Or Patsy or Sugar Daddy. He's not that way. You're deceived is what you are. Then what else?
Verse 5. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed.
And the Lord will bring you, this is symbolic, into the kingdom of the heaven. Amen?
Amen.
God's kingdom. Then what?
And thou shalt possess it, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers.
That's part of the blessings of chapter 28, amen?
Amen,
of Deuteronomy. The blessings and the cursings are in that one chapter, chapter 28. You ought to just tie that around your neck and look at it every day and realize that, you know, you may think that you're doing a wonderful job in the Lord, but we have to be refilled with the Spirit every day, and we have to humble ourselves every day because, you know, you get to be a hot shot and you're going to go down. Pride always goes before what?
A fall.
A fall. Yeah. And if you fall, then all the curses are on you. That's the problem, okay? Falling, you say, well, it's not so bad to fall. Well, with God it is, because all the curses, you know, every kind of disease could hit you and will, one or another. And the Lord will destroy your city and you in it. Then what?
Verse 6. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live.
You know, if you want to live, and I mean, living means to have eternal life. If you are go to hell in the lake of fire, that's eternal death. You just keep dying. You never really become unconscious to it. You're just always dying and wishing to God that you could die. Okay, then what else?
Verse 7. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee.
See, if you do what he says, then the people will be... He also says, one of the blessings is people will be afraid of you. And that's one of the things that that girl said today. You know, she was unsaved. She says, when he shook my hand, I mean, there was fear came over me, but it was a good fear. You know, it's like, it wasn't like he was going to hurt me or kill me or something like that. But it was like the fear of the Lord came upon her. And what the Lord did that, I didn't do it, you know. Because I had a smile on my face, I believe. I can't see that well, but I was smiling at everybody. And she got the fear of the Lord. But when you have, read that last verse.
And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee.
Right. So you say, well, they're persecuting, I just can't handle it, man, because I got too much persecution. I just can't. Well, why don't you believe God's promise? He says he's going to destroy them. He's going to plague them. You're all right. Just stay serving the Lord so that he can continue plaguing your enemies. Amen?
Amen.
And that's what you have to remember is these scriptures that say these things, you have to meditate on them. Think about them all day long. If somebody does something wrong to you, well, God's going to plague them. Don't try to retaliate or give something evil back for the evil they do. Overcome evil by doing good. If you do good, then God's going to persecute them and run them right into the rails, all right? Or destroy them. Okay, then what?
Verse 8, And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day.
See, the reason he says return is because these people heard these commandments before. They heard them all before, out on the wilderness. And the older ones didn't do it, and so they all died, except Caleb and Joshua. And Moses is still alive, but he's already been told that he's going to have to die. Now he's telling all these young people here, the youth, that, you know, all of you get back. You saw your parents sinning and everything, but don't be like them, because you saw what happened to them. They all died out here in the wilderness. Okay, now, then what else?
Verse 9. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good.
Yeah, in other words, you have a lot of children, a lot of cattle. And today you don't have cattle, but you'll have lots of money, because cattle back then was money. Amen?
Amen.
The more cattle you got, the more loot you have, right?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. Translation, verse 1 through 9.
Yeah, can you picture God rejoicing over you? It's just like you rejoice over a little kid. You say, you know, Zion, go get me something. Yes, Dad. And he just runs over to the door. Let those people in the doorway. And he says, yes, Dad. And he goes right over there. And it rejoices my heart that the boy is so obedient. And my little daughter, I mean, I just tell her, she said, can I go someplace, or I want to go downtown today, and I've got too much work to do, honey. I says, maybe tomorrow, okay? And she goes, okay, Daddy. That is just, it makes me rejoice, instead of her throwing a fit and laying on the floor and kicking her feet back and forth, or him too, you know, and just throwing a fit and bouncing off the walls. It's just, it rejoices you, you know? And God, when he sees you doing, no matter what he tells you to do, you're doing it. Like I felt, I just did not want to go over there to the building tonight, and I just didn't feel like seeing people. But the Lord says, you know, do it. And it rejoices him because I do it no matter how tired I am. Even in prison when I was in there for the gospel's sake, he'd tell me to get up and write, and it's pitch dark. And I said, Lord, how do you expect me to write? I can't see in here. And he says, see that ray of light coming through the window there? I said, but I've only got one of these short little pencils. He says, has it got lead in there? Yes, Lord. Well, then get out there and put the paper in the light and write. I'm tired. I'm not saying all this. I'm just saying to myself, I'm really tired, but I got to do it. And I'm going to do it. And I'd write, And all of a sudden, he touched me, and all of a sudden, the word started coming right in. I was really enjoying it. Then I said, can I stop now? He says, no. Just relax a minute. Here's some more. And here it come again, and I tried some more. And then he said, okay, now you can go to sleep. And I wake up in the morning. I was so happy that I took that down, because I would have never remembered. It never would have happened if I wouldn't done that. So we don't feel like doing something sometimes, and it's always, you know, your flesh wants to sleep. And I'd say, you know, look at all these other people, you know, they're sleeping, Lord, you know, how come I have to get up? And, you know, I'm blind, you know, just legally blind, and I've just got a little short pencil here, and I can't even read what I'm writing. I'm just going by feeling, you know. He says, just do it, okay? And I'd say, okay, you know, I don't want to be cursed. Amen?
Amen.
So, you know, if you people that can see, you people, you know, you're young, I'll be 70 years old this month. Cotton pickers, you know, get up. Start writing, you stinking ginsos. All right? If you, for your own good, amen?
Amen?
Obey the Lord is what he's saying, all right?
Amen.
Okay, go.
The call for the people of Israel to return to the Lord. Verse 1, suppose all these things happen to you, the blessings and the curses I have listed, and you meditate on them as you are living among the nations to which the Lord your God has exiled you. Verse 2, if at that time you return to the Lord your God, and you and your children begin wholeheartedly to obey all the commands I have given you today. Verse 3, then the Lord your God will restore your fortunes. He will have mercy on you and gather you back from all the nations where he has scattered you. Verse 4.
Sure, he had to scatter because they were disobedient. But he says, if you'll just get back to me, I'll bring you back to your own land. And it's the same thing. You people, some of you have been disobedient that are listening to my voice now and these words from the Lord. And he says, but if you'll just start being obedient, I'll bring you back into my fold, where there's nothing but blessings, no cursings whatsoever. Okay? That's the promise to him. So he says, but keep your promise. Because, you know, coming to me for salvation and for blessings and everything, there's something you have to promise too. You know, this isn't a one-sided street with me. I already took care of salvation by dying on the cross for you. And I'm going to die on the cross. In the Old Testament, he said he's going to do that. And he promises that he will, and he did. And now we're looking back at the cross, and he says, just do it, I'm telling you, and everything is going to be fine. You lie, you cheat, you steal, you commit adultery, fornication, and you lie about that you committed fornication and adultery or incest or something like that in the past. There's no way that I can bless you. There's no way that you can grow in the Spirit. There's no way you can grow in me. So get yourself clean. Clean yourself up. And then, you know, so I can bless you. Your pride is stopping you from being blessed. You will not confess. And that's the first step. Honest confession is good for the soul. Amen?
Amen.
So confess your sins. Confess your faults one to another. And confess your sins to the Lord so I can start blessing you, is what he's saying. The only way you can be humbled is to confess. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 4, where you are at the ends of the earth, the Lord your God will go and find you and bring you back again. Verse 5, he will return you to the land that belongs to your ancestors, and you will possess that land again. He will make you even more prosperous and numerous than your ancestors! Exclamation mark.
That's happening today. You know, you can see in 1947 and 48, the Lord brought the Jews back to Israel. That's one of the end time signs that they would return to Israel, to their homeland. That's not Palestine, that's Israel. God didn't tell Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that I'm going to, he changed his name to Jacob's name to Israel, not Palestine. Okay?
Yes.
Where do you get this stuff? This is brainwashed, stinking media garbage. You know, it's not Palestine. Jacob's name is Israel, not Palestine. All right?
Yes.
So get that through your heads. Okay, let's believe the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go.
The Lord your God will cleanse your heart and the hearts of all your descendants so that you will love him with all your heart and soul and so you may live! Exclamation mark.
And who wouldn't love somebody that gives you a whole new land, houses that you never built, houses you didn't work for, to give you an easy life of just serving him and giving you all the food and clothing when there's a depression on and people are broke, and give you food and clothing for your children and a nice house to live in and utilities and everything? How could you not love the Lord? How could you start saying, I don't want to keep his command? That you think that you did this on your own, he's saying? You can't do that. If you get put out in the world, let's see if you can support yourself out there and do good. How can you, like the Lord is taking all diseases off of you and making everybody just really beautifully healed in this church? You know, and some that are still have diseases, little stuff like wrong with them and everything like that. It's because they still haven't surrendered their entire selves to the Lord. But if they do, all that'll go away. All of it'll go away. Do you understand?
Yes.
I mean, for God's sake. Okay, then what? For your sake? Then what?
Verse 7. The Lord your God will inflict all these curses on your enemies and persecutors.
Yeah, like he did you. And like he will continue to do to you. It's hard to fight against God. To kick against God. Oh, you're crazy. I mean, he knows everything you're doing and he's watching. And he wants to rejoice over you instead of destroy you. He's a good God if you'll do what he says. And he's a good God, too, that he'll rejoice to destroy you if you don't do what he says. And you just say, well, not me, because I'm cute. Oh, so cute you're not. You're cute to yourself, all right? It's like the hippopotamus, a couple of hippopotamuses were saying to a couple of giraffes, can you imagine? Look at how ugly they are. You know? Everybody thinks they're beautiful, even a stinking rhino or something. All right? So don't get, stop flirting with yourself in the mirror. All right? And realize, that we're just dust, just flesh, dust, okay? And flesh and blood and dust cannot enter the kingdom of God, okay? Obedience is what does it to the Lord. All right, what else?
Verse 8, then you will again obey the Lord and keep all the commandments I am giving you today. Verse 9, the Lord your God will make you successful in everything you do.
Everything you do? Yeah. Some of you people put your makeup on, the lipstick on your forehead. No, it'll be on the lips from now on, okay? No, everything you do. I mean, financially, your children, your health will be good, everything. If you just do what he says, amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
He will give you many children and numerous livestock, and your fields will produce abundant harvests, for the Lord will delight in being good to you, as he was to your ancestors.
Yeah, wouldn't you delight in being good to your children? If they're obedient to you?
Yes.
But if they come up and kick you in the leg or something with their hard baby shoes on, I don't know about you, kid. You know? All right, then what?
King James Version, verse 10. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul.
You notice all? I mean, that all doesn't mean 99.9%. It means all. I mean, if you want the blessings, of course. But if you want the cursings, don't do it. Okay, then what?
Verse 11. For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off.
No, because you can read it in the Word. These other words. The mystery of God is known now. Amen? Because you can just see what pleases him and what doesn't. There's no mystery there anymore. Just do it. Okay? Whichever way you want to go. You want to be cursed, then don't do it. You want to be blessed, then do it. If you want him to rejoice over you, then do it. If you want him to curse you, then don't do it. You've got to show you're a free moral agent. You can pick whichever way you want. You want to curse, it's fine. He'll do it. You're going to do it God's way. God's way is that he's going to curse you. And if you do it his way, it's going to be God's way. He's going to bless you. So both ways you go, it's going to be God's way, not your way. All right? I don't know if I like a God like that, you might say. Well, don't worry about it. The feelings are mutual with God. He doesn't like you either. Okay? Who needs you? He figures you're like so much sawdust, chaff. So know that now, and know you're going to hell now. Okay? Know it, and suffer with it, and be cursed. But of course, if the Lord prefers, and I certainly would prefer that you be blessed. Amen? I'm sure every true Christian would. Then what else?
Verse 12. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it.
No, you don't have to go up to heaven to hear it, so that you can see what to do and then do it. Just read it in the Word. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 13. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it?
No, it's not. You don't have to travel to Europe or to Saipan or someplace, China, to find out the Word of God. You're hearing it right now, Gov. Amen?
Amen.
Brother, sister, friend, enemy, you're hearing what to do right now, whether you like me or not. Like what you're being told, because this is from the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You know now. You didn't have to go to China to hear it. Or to the moon. All right, what else?
Verse 14. But the word is very nigh unto thee.
It's very near. It's right here. You're hearing it. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
In thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Verse 15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. Translation, verse 10 through 15. The Lord your God will delight in you if you obey his voice.
If. That is like Susie used to say, that little word with that great big meaning. Amen?
Amen.
If you do it, then what? He'll delight over you. Then what?
If you obey his voice and keep the commands and laws written in this book of the law, and if you return to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. The choice to choose life or death. Verse 11.
See, the churches just don't teach that, do they? Well, you hear them on there saying, God has blessed all of you people in this congregation. And not one of them is right with the Lord. And boy, you're going to get the word of God throughout the world, and they're not saved, any of them. And he's saying that over television, all these guys. And God just loves you unconditionally, and he wants you to go back into the world when he wants you to separate yourself from the world. And he doesn't want you to have fun. He doesn't want you to go mingle back into the world. He doesn't want you to have anything to do with the world. He says, love not the world. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, keep going.
Verse 11, this command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you to understand or perform.
No, even you people can understand it, right?
Right.
All you people sitting here with dunce hats on. Okay? Even you can understand it. And he's saying it to even to some that even a moron can understand it. Okay? Okay, then what?
Verse 12. It is not up in heaven, so distant that you must ask, quote, who will go to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey it.
It's already been brought down to earth, you know, in the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Amen?
Amen.
But he's telling us these things right now in the Old Testament so that we can know that when the Son of God comes into the world that he's going to preach the same thing. He said, I didn't come to destroy the law. You have to keep the law. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I showed you that in a human body, the law can be kept. He says, so in my Father's house are many, he rooms in many people, and so you can keep the commandments too. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I'm not the only one. In other words, you know, and the Bible says that when we come unto the Lord, he enters into us and we say, Abba, Father. So we are the sons of God. What manner of love that the Father has for us that he calls us the sons of God. Amen?
Amen.
And we're sons and daughters of the Lord if we do all these things that he's saying, if we keep all the commandments. But if we don't, you break one commandment, you've broken them all. That's just the way it is. Now, don't get upset with me because I didn't write this. I'm just telling you what is written and what is true and what I've found to be true. The Lord says, whatever I ask, even this evening after I prayed for the person in the church, Ronald Jones came over here and he says, Tony, he says, I saw, you know, heal these people and stuff. He says, I've had asthma all my life. And he says, Marty, the construction man, said, it wasn't the finances that he got from your church, you know, from the brothers and sisters, from the church that caused, that he benefited from you the most. He says, the benefit he got is when you prayed for him. He had asthma all of his life and it was gone. He says, I've got asthma. And he says, I've got this pain all throughout my body. He said, will you pray for me? And I said, sure. I says, I asked the Lord, you're going to heal him now? You're going to take it away? You're going to take the pain away? And yet, and also the asthma, he said, yes. So I said, Ronald, you're going to be healed right now. So I laid hands on him. He says, I can breathe. He says, and the pain that was in my shoulders and back and my fingers, because he plays piano and drums. And he says, it just, I felt it just lifting off my shoulders and my arms, and it went right up out through my head. And he said, it's gone now. There's no pain. Okay, so all these things belong to us. And I can see Ronald and Kenny. Kenny's seeking for the Lord too. He was asking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because he says so many people do that on television. So I explained to him how this Jewish rabbi, how Susie spoke in tongues in front of him. She didn't know how to speak Hebrew, but she was. And he says, stop it, this rabbi, because she witnessed to him all the time. And she says, why? After she got through speaking in tongues, he says, oh my God. She says, what did I say? He said, I can't tell you. And she, if you knew Susie like I knew Susie, she just keeps going until you confess what he said. Well, he said, in a language I know you don't speak, and it was perfect Hebrew, you were telling me something that I've never told anybody in my life that happened to me. I was walking on a death march. They were marching us to the death camps, and he says, I looked over on a hill, and I saw a vision of Moses standing there with his staff, and behind him was the Nazarene. The Lord, he didn't say the Lord Jesus Christ, he said the Nazarene dying on the cross for the sins of the world. That's what tongues and interpretations are about. Because she spoke to him, telling him something that he had never, never, ever, he had never told anybody before. And that's, she was speaking in tongues and in a language she didn't speak. And the same thing happened to me on several occasions, and Sue and myself, at Angelus Temple in Los Angeles, and over in another a full gospel Christian businessman meeting, somebody that never even knew us would get up and say, speak in tongues, and then an interpreter would be there and tell something about us that I should stop doing. Susie said I had to do the promotion for Rova, and I did. She says, now you have to stop, and I wouldn't listen to her. And somebody that didn't even know me says, you have to stop, listen to your wife, you have to stop what you're doing now and come into the fold. And she looked at me and raised her eyebrows. In other words, that's to you. And these two people we didn't know, one spoke in tongues and the other one gave the interpretation. I never saw them before, they were real old people. And I was very young at that time. I was like, well, 38 years or 36 years ago, something like that. And it was 1967. So, anyway, and I said, I was just, it was just, kind of like maybe a coincidence or something. And the Lord come right back in tongues and another interpretation. The minute I was thinking that, and said, it is not a coincidence. And I am speaking to you, the interpreter said. Get out of the business that you're doing right now and listen to your wife and come into the ministry. Or something terrible, you know, and I can't remember the exact words, but it was that something terrible would happen to you. And then Susie looked at me again and raised her eyebrows a little higher. And I said, that was to me, Sue. Don't worry, it's over. You know, that's it. I'm in. And the Rovan that I got into the Dunes Hotel, at that time, he was the star over 100 people from France at the Casino de Paris, Major Riddle show at the Dunes Hotel in Vegas. And I said, he wanted me to come to the grand opening because RC and all those people are going to be there. And it was a big gala event, you know, and I didn't show up. No, sir. Now, that was definitely the Lord twice in one night there. But he says, these people get on the phone and they jabber and jabber and there's no meaning to it whatsoever. I said, that is not of the Lord. Kenny was saying, oh, God, thank God I know that. He says, that Benny, Ken, or Hen, I mean, and what's that other guy, you know, Creflo Dollar, he says, they just blah, 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 and they just blah, 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 and they, there's nothing, there's no... I said, tongues and interpretations are for to tell secrets about somebody's, about somebody that needs to get pulled up to show that God is really living in you. And there should be people in this church that's praying for these gifts and asking the Lord for things. If you're keeping the commandments of the Lord, you'll get the gifts of tongues and interpretations. But ask, and you'll receive. If you don't ask, you're not going to receive anything. Well, anyway, let's go on.
Verse 13. It is not beyond the sea so far away that you must ask, quote, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear and obey it, unquote. Verse 14. The message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart.
Yeah, so you're getting the message right now, kiddo. Okay? Get the message, right? Receive it now. Okay, then what else? This is the real stuff. This is the real Word of God. And in the Spirit, too. Okay, then what?
It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. Verse 15, quote, now listen, exclamation mark. Today I am giving you a choice between prosperity and disaster, between life and death. King James Version, verse 16.
Yeah, want life and death, or do you want to be a disaster? That's up to you. Remember, we're free moral agents. Think about that all the time. You can choose to go over to the and pray for people and preach to them and give your testimony and talk about the Lord, or you can choose to clam up and just let the world roll by. And there'll be no reward for you for, because the Lord says, anyone that doesn't win souls, anyone that doesn't bring forth fruit, the Lord says he'll cut you off. He'll burn you. It's a promise. And what else?
King James Version, verse 16. In that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it.
And when he says keep his commandments, that means to keep keeping them, keep keeping them, keep keeping them, keep keeping them every day, day one day at a time, keep keeping, to keep his commandments. You want to, if you got a bag full of diamonds, and he says, now remember, keep those diamonds. Keep those diamonds every day. Keep them. Well, you keep them one day or 2 days, and then you drop them and leave them over in the park someplace. Or else you, some people wouldn't think of doing such a thing as that, right?
Right.
Or you got a bag of money that says, keep keeping that money. Save the money for, you know, for a rainy day or for something that you want to do. Like you want to put in a television studio like we just did, and a recording studio, and a nice new church and everything, and all kinds of facilities like that. Save the money so that you can keep doing good for the Lord. Don't buy frivolous things, like ridiculous things that don't mean anything, that are not for the Lord. Well, he says, keep my commandments, because they're your very life. Amen?
Amen.
Keep serving me one day at a time. Don't try to think of it as the long haul, because you don't know. The long haul for you might be tonight or tomorrow. Amen?
Amen.
So just keep keeping the commandments. Amen?
Amen.
If you keep my commandments, well, if I give you a bag of money, say, now keep this for me, will you? That doesn't mean for today. Amen?
Amen.
And that you just squander it tomorrow. Then I come to you and say, where's the money I told you to keep for me? Well, you said, well, I went to the pizza parlor and wherever, you know, and spent it. You cursed servant, you. Let me smite you. Okay, then what else?
Verse 17. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. Verse 18. I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it.
Perish means that you'll die, you'll go to hell and the lake of fire. Okay, that one?
Verse 19. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live.
Yeah, this is love to tell you the truth. Amen?
Amen.
The Apostle Paul said, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And I say the same thing. Am I your enemy because I tell you, I break it down to where you can understand it? Even though you don't want to do it, do you want to be blessed? That's the question. Amen?
Amen.
No, I just don't want to do it. I don't care if I'm cursed. I'm not going to do it. Well, then you're a nutcase, and, adios, amigo, whatever. All right, then what else?
Verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them.
Amen. Okay, now, just a slight translation here. It means the same thing. Okay, what else?
Verse 16 through 20. I have commanded you today to love the Lord your God, and to keep his commandments, laws, and regulations, by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and become a great nation, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. Verse 17. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and worship other gods,
okay, then you're going to go the other route. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 18, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Verse 19, today I have given you a choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you've made. Oh, that you would choose life, that you and your descendants might live! Exclamation mark. Verse 20. Choose to love the Lord your God and to obey him, and commit yourself to him, for he is your life. Then you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
And the many places in the Bible that says, and also you will spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven. You'll be young always. You'll be beautiful always. You'll be strong always. You'll live forever. And you'll always stay, you'll look like you're about 16, 17 years old. Oh, and you may have had some kind of disfigurement in your life, but that'll all be, it's like you went to the greatest plastic surgeon in the world. I saw everything on you is perfect. There's no imperfection in heaven. If you got a snaggle tooth, it'll be all fixed. Amen?
Amen.
If your nose is too wide on your face, it'll be just nice. If your ears stick out too far, they'll be tight to your head. If your hair is like thin and no shine to it, it's going to be beautiful. If you have no legs or no arms, or you'll have them there. Everything is perfect. There's nothing lame or halt. And if you, and it just goes on. There's you can't, only when you see heaven, and I've seen it on a couple of occasions, several occasions really, you can, it's just, you can't explain all the details of what that means. I mean, your posture is perfect. God, I just noticed how beautifully straight and the way you walk, every step is perfect. Every move you make is beautiful. When I noticed that, I looked at Susie and I just couldn't stop looking at her, and he was showing, then he would show me and next to her, and I didn't know which one of us to look at the most because we were fantastic looking, I guarantee you. And I'm sure everyone is fantastic looking in the kingdom of heaven. No need to be jealous of me or Sue. I mean, you're going to look just good, or, God knows, to you, you'll think you look better than we do, I suppose, I mean, everybody's beautiful there. And your posture is perfect, and every way you turn is like, it looks like an animated cartoon, not a cartoon, that's a wrong word, but just like an animated, beautiful way you move. And when you look to see, I've got very bad eyes. A glint came out of my eyes to show me that my eyes will be perfect. And every hair is in place. And if you're bald, you're going to have a full head of hair. Believe me. You know, believe it. There's no imperfection. Everything is perfection there. And you're not, if you've got a pot gut, forget it. It'll be gone. Amen? Or if you're too skinny, you'll be filled out. You know, you'll just, it's perfect. There's nothing to worry about. And I thank everybody's skin, because Sue and my skin were gold. It was like gold colored. So black people will be gold. White people will be gold. Chinese people are almost halfway there. Amen? And, you know, the beige people will be gold. It's like beautiful. You can't believe the skin. And then you got like beautiful, you know, gray, steel gray hair, and it's like carved silver or something. It just sparkles. And the blonde hair looks so good against, and gray hair looks so beautiful against that gold skin. It's you can't imagine it. It's beyond your imagination. Nobody slouches there. You're just everything. If you've ever seen anybody that's even close to that in this world, there's nothing close to it. Okay? I've been around a lot of motion picture stars, including Pam Anderson. We used to go to lunch quite a bit every day, and she was, you know, pretty good looking, but she gets blown away up there. And I didn't realize that she would be as corrupt as she is here, and she needs to repent and get saved. Amen?
Amen.
And maybe the Lord allowed me to meet her and everything so that she could maybe one of these days listen to these tapes and get saved. Amen?
Amen.
Because she's living an accursed life. All right, so we got some, you finished yet? Now we got some commentary here.
30 verse 15 through 20. We are free to choose. We made a decision to turn our will and our life over to the care of the Lord God. Everyone has a life or death decision to make. We have all been created with the supreme privilege of having a free will, the ability to choose. Even when we are in the bondage of our addictions in the body of Satan, we still have choices confronting us, choices that we have to make one way or the other. All of them really are bad. When we are in the Lord and are maturing, we still face the nagging lure of falling back into our fleshly desires and feelings, because the same body that we lived in while we were sinners, we're still living in, and we need to be in the Spirit to cause the body to be under subjection to the Holy Spirit. The freedom to choose brings with it a burden that are consequences, no matter what our choices are. These choices affect our life and the lives of our loved ones, our wives, our children, and all the loved ones around us. He will send you a blessing, but it is a conditional blessing. There is also a continued responsibility with it, exclamation mark.
Right, continuously keeping the commandments, amen?
Amen.
Every day, one day at a time. Then what?
God spoke through Moses saying, quote, now listen, exclamation mark, today I am giving you a choice between prosperity and disaster, between life and death. I have commanded you today to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to keep his commandments, his laws, his precepts, statutes, and regulations by walking in his ways. Now, of course, we are able to do that by walking in his Spirit. If you will do this, then you will live and the Lord your God will bless you. But if your heart turns away from the Lord and you refuse to listen to him, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life, that you and your descendants might live, exclamation mark. Choose to love the Lord your God and to obey him and commit yourself to him, for he is your life, unquote. Deuteronomy 30, verse 15 through 20. Although we may feel out of control, that is, in respect to our flesh, the things that our flesh loves to be addicted to, we can choose to set our heart in a different direction, into the direction of life. We can choose to love God and begin to follow his program, or we can choose to not follow him, and then at the end you'll wind up in hell and the lake of fire. Psalm 61 is a good psalm to read. 30 verse 1. The Israelites were commanded to meditate.
All the psalms are good, but that's a good one in this respect to read, okay, is what I meant. All right, then what?
The Israelites were commanded to meditate, think upon God's will for them, what they should do. They were to recognize that both blessings and curses came from his hand as a response to their obedience or disobedience. The same goes for us. We need to realize that everything in our life, whether we choose good or bad, if we choose bad, we're going to receive the curses. All this is part of God's plan for us. If we don't, we are only hiding from the truth. This world runs according to God's sovereign original plan, and it can't be changed. If we, with our free will, refuse to go along with it, we are only insisting on our own destruction. 30 verse 19. Again, God urges his people to choose life rather than death. We are reminded here of the plan of Jesus Christ, who says, quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. John 14:6.
Except through obeying what I say. In other words, Jesus is the Word who came flesh. So you can't come to the Father other than by following the Word. Amen? Jesus is the Word. Follow the Word. Follow Jesus. Follow the Word. Follow Jesus. Follow the Word. Like saying to your skull, Jesus is the Word, so follow the Word. Follow Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Then what?
The way to life is to choose God and his powerful forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Our decision is important not only for ourselves, but for our loved ones, for our wives, our children. So let's choose life and pass the gift on of abundant life to our children and our loved ones as well. 30 verse 1 through 10. This passage is predicative because it's seen beyond a future activity.
In other words, you can predict it, okay, in case you don't know what predicative is. Then what, read it again.
This passage is predicative because it's seen beyond a future activity brought about by the Israelis' disobedience, the period of repentance and restoration. They'll go into captivity, but then they will repent and be restored.
That's what the whole book of Judges is about. They just go on. They start sinning, they go into captivity, and then they repent, and then God sends in a Savior. But this goes on and on and on in the Old Testament, because back then you were able to go and get forgiveness over and over again if you didn't commit a capital crime. But in the New Testament, if you could commit capital crimes, you can't be forgiven anymore, unless it was you did it ignorantly, unless you weren't saved. Okay, and then what?
Then they'll go into captivity, but then they'll repent and be restored, some of them. But in the process, many of them will be killed and go to hell. The steps to restoration will include remembering that they are in captivity as an inevitable consequence of their disobeying the Lord's covenant, verse 1. Repenting, verse 2, and wholeheartedly committing themselves to obey the Lord's voice, verse 2. God would then bring them back from captivity, but they'd have to be 100% in everything that he says to do. Verse 3. Quote, have compassion, unquote, on them. Verse 3. Bring them to the land. Verse 5. And circumcise their heart. Verse 6. A reference to the Messianic covenant when God would deal with man's spiritual problems through an eternal transformation. That's being transformed.
You make the transformation, that means you're transformed from a sinner unto a saint, all right? That's what transformation means, is that you are transformed just like a caterpillar is transformed from a caterpillar, an ugly-looking thing, into a butterfly, a beautiful butterfly. And you don't, people say, well, I fall away for a while. What, do you turn back to a caterpillar? No, butterflies don't do that, and you can't do that either, okay? Once you're a new creature, then you stay being a new creature, and you just stay in the spirit, all right? And stay with the mind that you want to be blessed, not cursed, okay? Just keep it in your mind. Think about it. Do I want to be cursed? Should I do this? yeah, I think I'll choose to be cursed today. Well, you're going to wind up the Lord liable to lift the spirit from you, and you're going to be not only cursed, but you're going to be damned into hell in the lake of fire forever. Okay? God puts curses on people to try to get them to repent. But if you go too far, then you're damned. Damned means there's no repentance anymore. Okay, then what?
30 verse 11 through 14. Returning to the ceremony in Moab, Moses reminds them that the commandment would not impose upon them, the people, conditions they could not understand or fulfill. It was practical and realistic and very close at hand. Plus, there was no excuse for their disobedience, none whatsoever. 30 verse 15 through 20. This chapter closes with a call to choose the way of life rather than the ways of death.
Praise the Lord, that was Deuteronomy chapter 30. And so, well, for sure, this evening, or this morning, or this afternoon, whenever you're listening to this tape, you know that this is the truth. You've heard the truth now. And how do we know? Just start doing what the Lord says, and you'll see that your whole life will change from curses to blessings. And people say, well, I just want to see if I'll be cursed. You know, after all, I'm blessed so much. I've been going along here, and I'm blessed. I think I'll do something wrong to see if God really curses me. That's the wrong thing to do, because you're testing God or tempting him. You will be cursed, and it's if you start putting it to the Lord like that, you're liable to be damned. So don't be testing God. God's testing us all the time. Not tempting us, but testing us. And to see if we're going to be qualified, if we're good to be in the kingdom of God. Don't be so concerned about you accepting God. You better worry about him accepting you. Okay? You better get right. You know, we all have to. We must. It's an absolute must. Until chapter 31... think about these things day and night. In other words, meditate on them day and night. And God bless you. I know he will when you're doing that. Praise the Lord. Amen.